Thank you, Brian, for that powerful song. Aren't you glad that we can share our requests with the Lord? Amen. And it's so great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we're so glad that you've decided to join us. And we continue to pray that the Lord is moving and working in your life in this Easter season, and that you are experiencing just the wonder of the Lord. Just one other quick announcement that we wanted to share with you this morning. We are currently seeking a new daycare director, and so a job description will be posted on the bulletin board in the hallway. Not there yet, just a few things we needed to make some adjustment to, but it will be posted in the hallway. And if you would be interested in daycare director, if you would submit a resume, we would certainly appreciate that, and we'd appreciate your prayers as the Board of Elders and the Board seek to determine who our next daycare director will be. And so be praying for them as well as for the daycare as they make some transition and some changes, and so we would certainly appreciate that. Well, as you know, we've entered the Lent season or the Easter season, and so we want to begin to share with you a new sermon series entitled The Holy Week in Review. And so basically what we're going to be doing is looking at a couple different situations in the Holy Week and sharing them with you. And you will discover that some of these things that we're going to be sharing with you, like today, as we share with you in regard to the triumphal entry, is usually done on Palm Sunday. And you know today is not Palm Sunday, but we will be sharing throughout the next several weeks. And so in regard to the Holy Week in review. The Holy Week, or the Passion Week, begins with the triumphal entry and ends with the crucifixion of Jesus. So over the next few weeks, we're going to consider several of those events during the Holy Week to help us prepare for Easter, beginning with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The triumphal entry is an interesting event, and sometimes maybe even a little puzzling in regard to the scenarios that surround it. And for example, the crowds that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem that day. Had it been planned in advance? Or was it a spontaneous burst of energy and enthusiasm on the part of the people that was gathered there? One of the questions. Truth is, yes, on both accounts. Actually, that procession had been planned centuries earlier by God Himself. And the prophet Zechariah spoke to it and gives us some insight in regard to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so, to help us begin to understand some of these scenarios, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's turn over to Zechariah. Of course, this was our call to worship passage this morning, but let's turn over to Zechariah this morning, chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 9. We'd appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Zechariah 9:9 this morning, as a prophet shares with us in regard to what we know as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And that passage of Scripture shares with us, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Join us this morning in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so grateful for the opportunity to worship you, to experience you, and to begin to genuinely prepare our heart and mind for the celebration of Easter. And so, Lord, I pray that over the next few weeks, Lord, as we journey together, that we'll experience you. We're going to experience your love, your grace, your mercy, and just the wonder of this Easter season, Lord. But as we begin today with your word and this sense of all that surrounds the triumphal entry, Lord, that our heart would that our heart would be excited, and Lord, that we would rejoice in You, and that as we think about everything that's happening, that we would raise our voices, Lord, and we would worship You, and we would rejoice, Lord, in these moments we have together. And so we ask that You would just come in such a way this morning and stir our hearts. We once again, Lord, ask that You would anoint us for the preaching of Your Word, and that You would just use us as a vessel, Lord, to share Your words with Your people. And today, Lord, would we be encouraged and excited because of what Jesus has done, is doing, and is going to continue to do in our heart and life. For we ask in Your precious name, and amen. You may be seated this morning. As we think about the triumphal entry, and we think about Zechariah 9:9 this morning, it's the prophecy of the Old Testament of the triumphal entry. And note, if you would, it was not the first time, nor would it be the last time, that Jesus did what He did in order to fulfill the Scriptures. And that's exactly what He was doing at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The triumphal entry was about fulfilling the Scriptures, yet it was more than that. In fact, there were several things happening. People were gathering, almost like a parade was about to begin. And if you know anything about the triumphal entry, that's kind of that concept that we see that begins to unfold as Jesus enters Jerusalem. And John tells us that people were even hoping to see Lazarus as part of the Lord's entourage. After all, who would want to miss the opportunity to see a man who had been dead, not just dead, but dead 4 days, now alive and well, and talking about it? That'd be an interesting discussion. And we see that in John 12, verses 17 through 19. And so we can clearly see this morning some interesting things were unfolding when we think about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so the whole Palm Sunday, and sometimes we refer to it as Palm Sunday, triumphal entry, either one's fine, possibly may bring a few questions to our mind in regard to the people and the circumstances and everything that was unfolding. And so this morning, I want to take a few moments and consider a couple of those questions. Don't have time to consider all the questions that might surround the triumphal entry, or even the questions that might come to our minds this morning, but a few of them, and then just some words of encouragement as we begin to think about this wonderful scenario that is about to unfold in human history. And let's begin to think about maybe one of those questions that surrounds the triumphal entry. And so the first question I'd like for us to consider for just a few moments is this. Who were these people who greeted and cheered Jesus on the first Palm Sunday? And so as Jesus entered Jerusalem, who exactly were these people? Because there's some question about that in regard to these individuals, but we're going to talk about that for a few moments. And so with that question in mind this morning, I'd like for us to listen to the account of the triumphal entry from Matthew's Gospel. And it shares with us, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately He will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And you see that in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. What an interesting scenario that's unfolding for us as Jesus enters Jerusalem. And as he does, there's this crowd that has gathered around, almost like, as I mentioned, a parade beginning to start. And they were watching and worshiping. But did you catch in the passage of Scripture that the whole city of Jerusalem had been stirred by Jesus? We see that in verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? That's a powerful statement. This is why such a great multitude greeted him, because of who he is. We know from other accounts of this event, of the triumphal entry, that even children figured prominently into the noise and the cheering and the almost parade-like atmosphere of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We might note that this seemed to have bothered the religious leaders as much as anything else. Perhaps they knew what we know, that it's often through the persistence of a child that adults are brought to faith. And so the participation in children, as they think about this crowd and who they were, part of them were children that had gathered around, and maybe even through them that adults would be brought to faith because of this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. People sometimes suppose or believe that this was the same crowd that 5 days later would call for Jesus' crucifixion. And I think this is why we need to think about this crowd, but that may be questionable. Is this the same crowd, this crowd that welcomes Jesus into Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna and with great excitement and is just simply so moved by Jesus entering the city? Is this the crowd then that cried for his crucifixion several days later? The people on Palm Sunday seem more like the individuals, in my opinion, whom the Savior described as scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. You see that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, that shares with us. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And this comes before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as he sees the people and as he sees the city. He was moved with compassion for them because they were scattered. They were lost. They had no direction. And so this crowd that gathers around Jesus as he enters Jerusalem seems to be more like those individuals who are excited that Jesus is coming. And the crowd, however, in Pilate's court on the morning of Good Friday was a smaller crowd, much more organized. They were perhaps even bribed to be there, as history might share with us. More likely pawns of the priests and scribes as they shouted, "Crucify him." As you think about those two groups of individuals, I think you would question, are they the same group of people? Some may say yes, some would say no. But yet the crowd was there. And so who were these people, as we kind of ponder that question, that gathered around Jesus as he entered Jerusalem? They were the people, I believe, who were excited to experience Christ. The people who were looking for hope. Looking to be, in a sense, delivered from Roman oppression. That's who those people were. And I hope that we in some sense are like them this Easter season, not just like them, but come with a sense of excitement and with a sense of hope because of what Jesus has done and is doing and is going to do in our lives. And so I hope we're in that group of people. Though we may still have questions about this group of people that gathered, but us as a group of individuals, may we be excited about what Jesus is about to do, not only in our lives, but in our church and in our community in this Easter season. And then the second question I want us to consider this morning for just a few minutes is this. What was in or on our Lord's mind and heart as He rode through the streets of Jerusalem? I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. As Jesus enters Jerusalem and this parade-like atmosphere is going on and all these people are gathered around and they're shouting Hosanna to the Lord. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. It had to be a very moving, stirring experience. Bring about a tremendous sense of excitement and awe as Jesus enters Jerusalem. But have you ever paused to wonder, though, in this whole thing, what was Jesus thinking about? What was on His mind as He entered Jerusalem? Do you think the excitement of the crowd moved Him, excited Him? What was He thinking? I'd like for us to ponder that thought for a little bit this morning. There's no doubt, certainly, Jesus knew what lay ahead of Him. The pain, the passion, the ridicule, the rejection, the cruelty of the cross He would endure. Certainly, that had to be on His mind. But believe it or not, that was not the foremost thing on His mind. Let's pause and think about that for just a minute. You know, it had to be there. He knew what was ahead of Him. I mean, after all, He's fulfilling Scripture in Jerusalem, just as Zechariah the prophet said. All if He's doing all that, He has to know. And of course, He's Jesus, right? So He knows. So that has to be on His mind. But I don't believe that was the foremost thing on His mind. I believe He was filled with sadness. Sadness so deep that He wept. And you'll find in Scripture before He entered Jerusalem that He wept over the city. He was broken. Not for Himself. Not because He knew what was about to happen to Himself. But He wept for Jerusalem's people and for its children. What was on His mind is the fact that He was broken for the condition of the people of Jerusalem. And I would take a step farther. Not only was He broken and wept over the people of Jerusalem, I believe that He was broken and wept over the condition of people in the world. And I believe Jesus is still broken and weeps over the condition of people in the world today. Scripture would tell us that Jesus knew the city's future. He knew the cries of these people were misguided, that they were looking for someone to deliver them from Rome, and unfortunately not from sin. As we think of the whole scenario that's unfolding as Jesus enters Jerusalem, the things that are on His mind, some things begin maybe to flow into our mind, and maybe when we think more deeply about the picture of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey, that might even offend us or even make us cringe. A I find it interesting, though, he enters the city just as King Solomon, David's son, had centuries before. Solomon, too, rode on a humble donkey. No kingly, powerful, prancing war horse in either case. But just as Solomon's name drew from the Hebrew word shalom, implied peace, Jesus himself is the Prince of Peace. The very act of Jesus entering Jerusalem is this concept that there is peace available in the heart and life of humanity. And there's no question Jesus was greater, far greater than Solomon. He was and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I believe the Apostle Paul had both Jesus' humility and His Lordship in mind when he wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As we think about what was on Jesus' mind as He entered Jerusalem, the brokenness of humanity. And this morning, if we could recognize how much the Lord loved the people of Jerusalem. All of them, with such sacrificial love, a love that would not die. For Jesus to receive their songs of praise was an act of grace. Accepting their prayer, Hosanna, save us, Lord, and then doing just that at the cross of Calvary. Hosanna means save us. And if we could understand today, as we continue on our journey toward Easter, oh, how the Lord loves us, reaching out to us in compassion and in care and in forgiveness in this Easter season and every season. If we just get the fact that Jesus is broken and weeps over us. Not just as He entered Jerusalem, but every day. And so as we ask that question this morning, what was on the mind of Jesus? Was it the crucifixion out there? No, I believe it was people. Not just the people of Jerusalem, or the people of Israel, or the people of His day, but you and I. And everyone that resides in Martin County in these moments was on His mind, people. Brokenness of humanity. There's no doubt many other questions about this scenario or that scenario that was unfolding as Jesus entered Jerusalem. We'd give some thought to the crowd that has gathered and what was on Jesus' mind. Well, might I encourage us today with this third thought that I want to share with you, that every time we gather, because they gathered for worship. That's what they were doing. They were worshiping Christ as He entered Jerusalem. Every time we gather for worship, the Lord receives our praise and our cries for help. That's what was unfolding as Jesus entered Jerusalem. They were worshiping. They were praising Him. And they were crying out for His help. Truth is, that's exactly what happens when we gather for worship. All because of His love, His goodness, His mercy, and His grace. And he knows, just as he knew as he entered Jerusalem, we don't always pray and praise with a pure heart or with a focused mind. What they needed wasn't necessarily to be delivered from Rome, but to be delivered from sin. They were crying out for his help, but they needed to be delivered from sin. And so even today, he knows that we do not always pray and praise with a pure heart or with a focused mind. He knows as we enter this Easter season that the various life issues, troubles, and opportunities distract us from the heart of worship. Jesus also knows that our walk through life is a little like His journey across the rough streets of Jerusalem. Rough on the feet, not easily traversed, with many bumps and turns and difficulties along the way. I believe there's no doubt all of us have good intentions when we gather for worship. We come expecting, hopefully, to be able to connect with the Lord and leave encouraged, challenged, better than we came. Sometimes we get distracted even in worship. Maybe our cell phone rings that we forgot to turn down. Smile, agree with me. Done that a time or two, right? Maybe we're thinking about lunch because our stomach is growling. Trying to determine where we're going to eat. Or did we turn the oven on before we walked out the door? Or 100 other life scenarios. And then maybe the things of life are weighing on us, as they were those who gathered around at the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. And so you might wonder, sometimes, just sometimes, is there not in each of us a longing maybe to see Jesus as someone who can wave a magic wand and take away all our troubles? That's kind of what they were doing when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Maybe as someone who will be the great deliverer from all of life's pain and problems. It truly isn't the heart of worship. Jesus knows all this. He knows our hearts, and He knows what's on our mind and what's going on in our lives, even behind closed doors. Just as He knew the intent of the individuals that gathered as He entered Jerusalem, He knows our hearts, He knows our thoughts, He knows what's going on in our lives. Fact is, He knows our weaknesses, and He knows our vulnerabilities, and He knows even if we've sinned in those moments. Be encouraged. Yet He receives our worship in grace and abiding love. Because of that love, our Lord allows us the privilege of worship, just as He allowed those to gather around Him as He entered Jerusalem. He takes our good intentions for what they are and sanctifies them by the power of the Holy Spirit. He understands our misguided motives and declares that they are forgiven because of what He has graciously done for us on the cross of Calvary. He refocuses our attention from our temporal needs and joys to His undying love and the eternal joy of a relationship with Him. And I hope that's exactly what happens as these next few weeks unfold for us as we journey to the celebration of Easter, that we'll refocus on the things of God. Not all the trials and difficulties and the unfortunate scenarios of the world. But we refocused on Him. And so today He invites us to lift up our hearts and our voices to honor Him. Not because He craves our praise, but because of the benefits we receive as we remember who He is and what He has done for us. That's really what the whole Lent season really is all about. The truth today is He does not need our worship. He still will be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But we most certainly need to worship Him. And I hope that's what we're going to do this Easter season. Just like that group of individuals who gathered as Jesus entered Jerusalem and worshiped Jesus, that we are going to gather in some form or fashion, be it here at the church or online, and we're going to worship Jesus this Easter season. And we're going to focus on Him. We're going to recognize all that Christ has done for us this Easter season. And I hope we do it with the same intensity and excitement as that first group of people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. We've considered only a few of the questions possibly surrounding the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. So many more, I'm sure. Know, however, this event marks only the beginning of the most important act in all of history, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And so even in this season for us, this is only the beginning, as we just begin to think about and refocus on Jesus this season. An amazing, unfathomable love. Jesus went from the streets of Jerusalem, triumphal entry, to the way of the cross, from the palms of passion, from palms to passion, from suffering to death, and then gloriously from death to resurrection. My, we have some wonderful weeks ahead of us as we journey together. And so today, as we continue our journey to Easter, may we be reminded of all Jesus has done and is doing for us. The triumphal entry and the other events that we're going to look at throughout the Holy Week was all about the redemption of humanity. They were all about our relationship with the Father. I hope as we continue this journey together today, that we recognize the great love the Father has for us. And that in this season, we would experience Jesus in such a powerful and wonderful way. Let's stand together this morning if you would. As Diana, if you would come to the piano, and Brian, if you would come. And we're just going to ask you to play softly. And I just want to take a moment this morning to allow us to just to just ponder the very thought of Jesus entering Jerusalem, the excitement and everything that was unfolding in that moment, and how exciting it must have been. And then for us today, to just make a commitment to the Lord, to journey together to the celebration of Easter, and to simply say to the Lord, Lord, whatever you have for me in this Easter season, that is what I want. I want to experience you. I want to know you. Like I never have before. And that in this Easter season, we'll have the opportunity, even in the busyness of our world, in the trials and the troubles and the things we're going through, to be able to refocus and genuinely and truly worship Jesus. We're going to take a moment, and then we're going to have a closing prayer. Maybe this morning you might want to make that commitment right where you stand. Lord, I'm going to commit to refocusing on you. Or maybe this morning you want to step out to an altar of prayer. Whatever you and the Lord need this morning, we want you to do. For those of you that are listening to us and you're in your living room or your automobile, might you pause for a moment, maybe pull off the side of the road, and just simply say, Lord, I want to refocus on you. I want to worship you this Easter season. May we just cry out to Jesus this morning. Hosanna. Hosanna. Save us, Lord. All mine, the Lord, this morning. Your precious Father, Lord, as we pause before you this morning, many things stir in our heart and mind in regard to your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So many things to consider, and some of them absolutely amazing, powerful, moving. But Lord, above all that, as you was focused on us, may you help us in these moments and the weeks ahead of us to focus on you. Oh, there's all these things that's going on around us, just like there was as you entered Jerusalem. There's so many things going on around us in our lives. May you help us, Lord, to focus on you as you were focused on us. And in this Easter season, Lord, we would experience you in such a powerful and wonderful and life-changing way. Come and save us, Lord. We ask in your precious name. And amen. Pray you've minded the Lord this morning. Hope that you're excited about this journey we're on to Easter. I want to remind you this evening that it is our Valentine's dinner and get-together. We're hoping to have some fun this evening. We want you to come out and be part of that. Bring some of your favorite food to share. And we are taking pictures, and so photo opportunities. We want you to be part of that as well. And then we'll have some fun together and fellowship together this evening. That is at 6 o'clock. I want to remind you of that. And then there's also choir practice this evening at 5. And so, the choir, we want you to come as we prepare for Easter. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And I also need to see the church board for just a couple moments here after the service.